They not only believed in Jesus, they behaved like Jesus. So let me ask this question of all of us, including myself. Are we Christ-like?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Diversity had a hard edge to it in the days of the early church, but the church in Antioch of Syria, the city to which Christians had fled following the persecution that had broken out in Jerusalem, the church was a different kind of place. A casual study of the list of leaders in this church that birthed the missionary movement indicates how, far from being a problem, out of the racial, ethnic, and social diversity of its members, the blood of Jesus had produced a harmony of unity that powerfully proved to the community at large that these people were truly followers of Jesus. Listen with us now as Pastor Brian Grant concludes his message, A Model for the 21st Century Church, Unity.
The reason we do some of the crazy things we do, the reason for all these divisions, is because we're all born with a sin nature. And this is why we need, as believers in Jesus Christ, to make sure we subject our sin nature to the cross and ask the Lord Jesus to give us victory, to recognize that this segregation and separation and prejudice is not of God. But that's exactly what was going on here. There was all this stuff going on. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 22. I think I stopped at 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who spoke when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Thank God somebody finally decided to preach to the Greek Jews. The news of these came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, Saul, who we now know as Paul and Barnabas were teaching a whole year in the church at Antioch and taught a great many people there. And disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I find this very fascinating. One of the things that fascinates me is not just the fact that they were now working and people were getting saved. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The church at Antioch modeled Christ-likeness. Put this in your notes. After watching their lifestyle, people realized that they were followers of Christ. Amen. It wasn't just because of what they were saying. It was because of how they were living. And sometimes we have a good message to share, but sometimes our actions don't back up our words. These people had a lifestyle. So add this to your notes. They not only believed in Jesus, they behaved like Jesus. Amen? They not only believed in Jesus, they behaved like Jesus. So let me ask this question of all of us, including myself. Are we Christ-like? Do I behave like Jesus? Come on, young person. You are saved. Do your friends recognize that you are saved? Do they realize you're different? Or do you do the same things that everybody else does? What speaks about Christ in your life? As the little song used to say, if you are arrested, for being a Christian. You remember that song? Would there be any evidence to convict you? If you arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think of that. Is your lifestyle so different that it is evident you're a Christian? We're not asking about a church member. Because people say, oh, he's a good church member. Not only they go to church, some of them actually have a Bible. They don't only use a cell phone. But the question is, does the beauty of Jesus shine in me and shine through me? And so may God help us. Listen, this is a big challenge. The disciples were first called at the people at Antioch. This crowd of people who were from every place. All the folks mixed together in this one church. And they were first, not in Jerusalem. Just think of that. The accent was in Jerusalem. But that's not where they were called Christians. It was in this church. This church with people from all over the world, of all sorts of cultures. And my God, help us at Germantown Christian Assembly, a diverse church, that people might look on us and our lifestyle as individuals. And yes, as a church. Because people weren't only looking at them as individuals, because yes, as individuals, it's important. But as a church, does this community recognize that GCA, we are Christians? Because we model the life of Christ. Christ is seen in us. So what have we said so far? First, we should model the diversity of the church at Antioch. Second, we should model its Christ-likeness. But third, we should model its expectancy. We should model its expectancy. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I love that. The Christian church was still very young, and there was severe opposition from the Jewish leaders. But despite the persecution, the church at Antioch in Syria was worshiping and fasting, for they were depending on God to do something very special through their church and in their generation. And as we'll soon see, God answered in an incredible way. Today, sin and immorality is raging in the world. And there's such a huge spiritual decline. Many Christians are convinced the Lord will return at any moment. And here's what many Christians have done. Because God is coming at any time, people have thrown in the towel, folded in their arms, waiting for Jesus to return. I've met Christians like that. I've met churches like that. Churches whose arms are folded. We just waiting. Jesus is coming soon. But my friends, although I believe Jesus is coming soon, you've heard me say it enough times, I believe Jesus is coming soon. I am living with great expectancy for a revival in my time. Amen. In my generation, in our day, I'm trusting God for a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit. I went visiting a number of churches. Some don't look like ours. I went visiting them, trying to see, could we work together? Can we work together? My argument is churches that have faces that is so diverse like ours, and churches who are more uniform. Perhaps if we work together to spread the gospel, to pray unitedly and to spread the gospel, people would start recognizing that this gospel is real. I found out there was no appetite for that. No appetite for that. But my brothers and sisters, I challenge you. Let's not quit. Amen? Let's not fold our arms. Let's trust God to do something mighty in our time. Amen? The church at Antioch was serious about seeing God work, and they made sacrifices. Listen, are you willing to make your personal sacrifices? Are you willing to make changes and sacrifices in your family to see God work? Might God help us that despite the gathering clouds, we may be people of expectancy and Christians willing to make sacrifices to see God at work. First, we should model the diversity of the church. Second, we should model its Christ-likeness. Third, we should model its expectancy. But fourth, we should model its mission-mindedness. We should model its mission-mindedness. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Write this down. The church at Antioch became the first sending church. God used this Gentile church in Antioch, not the church in Jerusalem, to launch the gospel worldwide. Isn't that interesting? Not the church in Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem was the largest church. It was full of apostles and teachers. But the first church to send missionaries to the rest of the world was this Gentile church in Syria. The decision to commend Barnabas and Saul. You know, when I read it, I said, boy, this must have been a tough decision. Because these were the two key leaders in the church. These were the men God had used to disciple and build the church. I can therefore imagine that some may have second-guessed. This week, I know some people were very nervous about the fact that our elders were going to India. And some people told me so. But let us be very careful that we don't second guess the work of the Holy Spirit. I imagine some may have said, please, Lord, don't take away our two best men. Take brother so-and-so, leave them two guys here. We need them two guys. How would you react if the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you a little curveball, I'm not going to talk about taking two of the leaders, but how would you react if the Holy Spirit called your son? Your son or your daughter. You see, I met people who are very happy to support missionaries, provided it's not their child. But as we meet today for this very important ministry, may God cause that every father who loves Jesus, every mother who loves Jesus, will change our mindset and say to God, God, my children are available to you. God, I honestly believe the best service that my child could do is to serve the Master and lead others to Jesus. And so, God, I've been always scared to do this, but God, I heard from you very loud and clear. If you want my son, if you want my daughter, if you want me, God actually wants the best. Amen. And I pray that this morning, as we listen to this whole message about a unity, a model for 21st century church unity, we might recognize that central to this message is this method issue of mission-mindedness, that we're committed to serving God and to obeying God. Listen, God, if you make yourself available to God, you don't really know exactly how God will use you. Being very personal, in 1970, when we decided that we were coming to America because we felt God was leading us to come here, significant financial sacrifice in every way to come, we had no idea what God would do. But I thank God for the privilege that we have had over these many years to see so many lives being touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see God touch our own family. And it's just been a joy. And I'm going to suggest to you, young man, young lady, father, mother, listen, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays, and it pays, and it pays. There is no other person to better to turn your life over to turn your family to. I guess I should quit right now. Thank God. Thank God for what he is doing. You know, let me close with one of my favorite stories. This will get me back on track. I'll close with one of my favorite stories, which I haven't shared for a while. A very beloved king was sick. And so he was told unless he got a new heart, he was going to die. So he called a mass meeting to announce the news to his loyal subjects. And this particular day came. You could see the whole crowd was out there. Tens of thousands of people were gathered in front of the palace. You know, you've seen these pictures where the queen is up on her balcony. Now it's the King Charles. He's on his balcony and all these people are out in the park. That's that type of a picture. Thousands of people in the park. And so the king, he got up on the balcony and made the announcement. He said, I have good news for you and I have bad news for you. And so he said, I'm going to give you the bad news first. He said, because of course, as they're there, they're shouting. Let me tell you the bad news. He says, the king has a bad heart and he's going to die. Oh, you could hear the sobs and the crying going through the audience as people heard that their beloved king was going to die. And then he said, but let me tell you the good news. The good news is that somebody is going to give me their heart and the king will live and not die. And so people started shouting, long live the king, long live the king. Take my heart, long live the king. The king says, here's what I'm going to do. The king says, here's what we're going to do. He held up a feather on the balcony. He says, I'm going to release this feather. And whoever the feather falls on will give me their heart and I will live and not die. He releases the feather. The feather is fluttering in the breeze. And the feather is up there, it's fluttering the breeze. You can hear the loyal subjects shouting, take my heart! Take my heart! Feather comes closer. It's coming down. It's coming down. People are still shouting, take my heart! Take my heart! And then the feather is now almost at people level. And all of a sudden, you start hearing, Take my! Take my! So you said, Pastor Brian, come back to preaching. The Christian church is full of Christians who say, take my... You see, when the feather's in the air, I will serve you. Songs are singing, I will serve you. All to Jesus I surrender. But are you really willing? Are you willing to surrender all today?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.